Selamat datang Bible to Genesis chapter 22. Okay, as we continue our study on the faith of Abraham. Okay. Instead of Jehovah Jireh, okay, which is actually one of the sub points, okay, I would like to extend and change the title to the Faith Greatest Test. Okay. So that will be the main theme. Okay. And Jehovah Jireh will be one of the sub theme. Okay, so let us turn to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. Okay, verses 1 to 19. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 19. Okay, follow me as I read this passage. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. See, thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering, in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, And they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Okay, the reading is up to here. May God bless us in the reading of His holy and precious word. Now this focuses entirely on Abraham's faith. Okay, and it is Abraham's greatest test of faith. And out of this test which God gave him, and because he passed the test, and he was called the father of the faithful. And so that is significant. Because in life there can be many tests. Okay, however, as we go through all these trials, we go through them in different measure of our faith. Well, sometimes we are strong in faith, but sometimes we are weak in faith. And so when God decided to test our faith, He makes sure that the test that He gave us will match our faith. What does it mean? Well, it means that He will not make it impossible for us to pass the test. Knowing our faith, whether it be strong or weak, God will definitely give us all that we need in order to pass the test. And so that's why the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13 says, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So God knows how much we can take based upon the measurement of our faith that we have. And then He sent the test accordingly. Now this is going to be Abraham's greatest test of faith. Never seen before. And so let us learn from him how he succeeded in passing the test with flying colors. And we see that Abraham's faith is amazing. And so first we see that his faith has no doubt at all. Okay, that is the first thing about Abraham's faith. A faith that has no doubt. That's the first point. Verses 1 and 2. Okay, tells us, "And it came to pass after this thing, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now God did tempt Abraham. The word tempt here means test. Okay, and this test that God gave Abraham was not to tempt him to do evil, but for good. Because everything that God meant for His own children is always good. And we must always see this from God's perspective. That will make our life very clear from God's perspective. Anything, everything that happens, even that which is bad, is always for good. And so we have this eye of faith to be able to understand from God's perspective. Now, Abraham answered God readily. Okay, as a servant ready to take down instruction from the master. And Abraham said, "Behold, here I am." Abraham put down everything that he was doing and answered God's call. You know, whatever he was doing was not made known to us. But when God called, Abraham answered, "Behold, here I am, all ready for God anytime and anywhere." And then after God said that, you know what He said in verse 2? There was no question asked at all. But to take His only son and bring him to the land of Moriah, surely there's no problem. No, we can fulfill this easily. And for Abraham, we can do it easily. No problem. But what about offering him for a burnt offering? Now look at the way God phrased His word. "Take now thy son." Now he must be His son. No, it cannot be any son. It must be His son. And who is he? Not Ishmael. Okay? Ishmael is also His son. But he's not referring to Ishmael. But he's referring to Isaac. Because God said, "Thy only son Isaac." Now what about Ishmael? Is not Ishmael Abraham's son? Now we must understand that from God's eyes, from God's perspective, Isaac is the only promised seed, you know, that is recognized by God. Okay? He's the only son whom God has promised to Abraham. Well, he is the only son of Abraham in whom the Messiah will come. That's why Isaac is the only begotten of Abraham. And then God add on, "Whom thou lovest." Well, this only son, Isaac, "whom you love very much." You know how deep is God's love for Isaac? Well, he's the one whom God has promised to Abraham. And Abraham has been waited and waited and waited. And then finally he came, surely he will pour out all his love upon Isaac. He will protect him at all costs. He will give him the best. He will feed him. He will make sure that he is well fed. He will be the best father to him. Whom thou lovest. And what to do with him? Offer him whom thou lovest as a burnt offering. There's no mistake. Abraham heard it loud and clear. And what did he respond? No question asked. Although there is no doubt that Abraham loved his son very much. Because God said it himself. Okay, whom thou lovest. God said it. God testified it for him. But why didn't Abraham bargain with God? Seems strange, isn't it? What will you do if you are Abraham? Well, if I am Abraham, well, I will be questioning God. God, have you made a mistake? Are you sure? Isaac is the son whom you have promised. And we have been waiting. And you have been giving me the promise again and again. And then now you are asking me to offer you as a burnt offering? Sure or not? Or are you talking about a lamb? Not Isaac. Well, none of this came out from Abraham's mouth. The Bible is silent on Abraham's emotion. Whatever is inside him may be going on, a great turmoil. All these are silent. Why? Because, well, I believe that God does not want us to depend on feeling. God wants us to focus on Abraham's faith that has no question at all. No doubts. Abraham believed what God was doing. What a great faith, isn't it? Now this test comes. You know, God did tempt Abraham. I believe this test comes when Abraham was strongest in his faith. But it's important for us to know that how did he respond in his faith that is the strongest? And that is a faith that does not question. Why? Because he has no doubt at all at what God is calling him to do. But is this a fake test? Well, some people say God gave Abraham a fake test. God did not really ask for the son to be offered as a burnt sacrifice. Just to test Abraham's faith. But can this be true? Why? Because God cannot contradict himself. Okay? In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, since he was against human sacrifice, by already saying, no, offer me your son as a burnt offering. But it's a genuine test. But having said that, it is a genuine offering of Isaac to God. What about, well, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, which is clearly against human sacrifice. Let us know that when God tests Abraham, well, God did not tempt him to do evil. So therefore, human sacrifice is not evil when God demands it, when God commands it. Because what is in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, it is a human sacrifice offered to the false God, to the idol. And so this does not contradict God's word. Okay? When God commands the human sacrifice to be offered to him, it is done toward God. It is right and biblical. So the test is real, not fake. Because if the test is fake, then God could be accused of deception. God never meant it. Well, it was a real test for Abraham. Abraham possessed a faith that had no doubt. God gave Abraham this faith, or this test, that his faith might be revealed. A faith that does not question God's doing, God's purpose. Now, God gave Abraham a simple command that required three actions. What are the actions? Take, get, and offer. Three verbs, okay, in this command. Now, let us see if Abraham followed this clear and simple command. And also how fast he did. Okay, we see from verses 3 to 6. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleared the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now Abraham did exactly the command which God gave him that required the three actions: take, get, and offer. Now how fast? Immediately. Abraham possessed a faith that immediately obeyed. That's the second thing that we learn from Abraham's faith. Now looking at each thing that Abraham was doing, they were done in great detail. And every action is deliberate. Now they could have been done with procrastination, with the hope that God will change his mind or intervene, or something will stop so that he will not have to carry on, proceed anymore, and to prevent the whole thing from being carried out. But there was not a single hint of Abraham delaying in carrying out God's command. Right, and he did not wait until evening or afternoon. First thing in the morning, he got everything ready. He prepared the donkey. He prepared his two servants. He prepared Isaac. All according to God's instruction to take him. If he had taken everything else except Isaac, then Abraham could have failed. But no, Abraham took Isaac and everything that was needed to prepare for the burnt offering, and got to the land of Moriah according to where God had said. Abraham did not choose the place himself. Abraham did not run away to a far away place. You know, like Jonah, he was supposed to go to Nineveh. Well, he chose to go the other way. Now, Abraham could have done the same. God told him to go to the land of Moriah and wait for instruction. You know, where on one of the mountains that he will offer the burnt offering. Abraham did exactly. With no procrastination, no delay, immediate action. And then finally, he was all prepared to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Well, by leaving the servant behind would mean that Abraham is determined to carry out the command himself. Why didn't he ask the two servants? Young men, very strong. Well, to just carry out the master's wishes. Maybe it's easier, isn't it, for the two servants to do it rather than Abraham himself, the father, to do it. But no. He leaves the two servants behind together with the ass. And so he marveled us that Abraham's faith is so strong. And so with all these actions done one by one, and so in the end Abraham took his son, left the servant behind, no sign of procrastination, no delay. Well, if we were to put ourselves in Abraham's shoe, well, we would have broken down long time ago. Well, I'll be crying to God for mercy and then asking God to retract his command. And then maybe I'll give all kinds of offers to substitute Isaac, to do all I can to stop the command of God. Well, we do this because of our weak faith, but not for Abraham. But the only response from Abraham is obedience. Not only no delay, no questions, immediate response, but full of obedience from him. And so what faith? A faith that has no doubt. A faith that obeys immediately. And so now Abraham and Isaac, okay, walking together as father and son. Perhaps in spirit, the longest walk in all their lives towards the place of sacrifice. But it was here that revealed Abraham's next aspect of faith, his faith in God's provision. Verses 7 to 14, we see Abraham's faith that believed in God's provision. And so in verse 7 onward, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold a fire and a wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they went and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Great faith in God's provision. Faith in God's provision was actually revealed in his reply, okay, to the two servants, okay, when he left them behind. Look at verse 5. Okay, verse 5 says, And Abraham said unto his young man, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So both Abraham and Isaac will return to meet with the servant again. That's the words of Abraham to the servant. Did Abraham lie to the servant? Because if Abraham were to really sacrifice Isaac, he would be coming back alone to meet with the servant. Isaac would have burned up, and Abraham would be all alone. And so already here, we see the faith of Abraham in God's provision. It was revealed to us. Abraham believed that both he and his son Isaac will return to meet their servant. And that is after the burnt offering. Now, Abraham will definitely offer up Isaac as a burnt offering to God. And saying that Isaac will return with him show that Abraham believed that God can raise Isaac from the dead. And therefore, Isaac will return alive. And he will be able to return together with him. Now, this understanding of the resurrection in the mind of Abraham was not something that is of a wild guess or speculation. But our memory verses tells us in Hebrews 11, 17 to 19, By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now when was this conceived in the mind of Abraham? I believe from the moment God gave Abraham this command. Straight away, that's why there's no question from him. No doubt. That's why he was able to obey immediately. He believed. He believed that God can raise Isaac from the dead. And so in his mind, Isaac will be the burnt offering. And he will be the one to thrust the knife into his throat, to let off all the blood. And then after that, he will burn Isaac as an offering according to God's command. Now, Abraham knew the step to sacrifice very well. Probably all these steps as he undertook, because the offering is Isaac. Surely, it must have been done with great heaviness. But still, there is a belief in his mind that Isaac will be raised up by God from the dead. Well, this was confirmed in his conversation with Isaac, okay, about his faith in God's provision. Well, in verse 8, you know, after Isaac asked him, you know, where is the lamb for the burnt offering to be made? And so in verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide a lamb, provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. What is Abraham's faith? That truly God is the one who is going to provide. Isaac was provided for Abraham by God. And so there is no deception that Abraham is saying over here. No, every step is a step of faith. And so when they reached the place, the action of Isaac was also very remarkable. Because as a young man, not able to carry the wood is no small bag, he was able to carry all the way to the top. And so the action of Isaac was also amazing because he simply submitted to his father and was able to see what Abraham was doing, how he preparing the sacrifice, preparing the altar, preparing the fire, preparing the wood. Only one is missing, the burnt offering. Or the lamb. And then when the father took hold of him, tied him up, well, he could have run away. Full submission. And of course, after Isaac was bound, placed on the altar, below are the woods, not ready to the fire to burn him up. But before that can happen, Abraham must do one final thing before the offering can be burned. And that is to slit the throat, to drain off the blood. And so Abraham took the knife. He was all ready to slay his son. Although let us remember, you know, until now, there is no question of Abraham's faith. Because he has a faith that does not question. There's no delay. There's no procrastination. But immediate and prompt obedience to God's command. And in Abraham's mind, he believed God will provide again. Not another son, but in Isaac, he will raise him up from the dead. Well, just as Abraham was about to kill Isaac, God intervened and substitute him with a ram. And so the angel of the Lord, as given in verse 11, well, as rightly the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, the second person of the Holy Trinity, calling out to Abraham from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Well, that stopped Abraham at the right time. And he answered the Lord, here am I, as before. And so the Lord told him not to lay his hand upon Isaac and do not do anything to him. And then the Lord said, now I know. Okay, he knows that Abraham feared God. Okay, because he had not repelled his only son from the Lord. Now when the Lord said, now he knows. Now it's not saying that God did not know before. Surely God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows all about us even before we are born. He knows our heart through and through, our mind, what we are thinking. God knows everything. In fact, he knew how obedient Abraham was. And so what did this record say? What did God say? Now I know. Well, this knowledge is for Abraham, that he may be strengthened further in his faith. To make known his faith. To reveal to him his faith. That he has passed. And God is well pleased with him. Now the test of faith for Abraham is that Abraham's faith may flourish. God, in the midst of trials like this, the greatest test that he has ever experienced. Now, what happened to Abraham is not an exception. It can happen to any one of us. But if God were to call upon us to give to him what is most dear to our heart, are we willing to give that up for God? Well, it's a test of our faith. Well, it could be a high-paying job. To trust in God to provide you another job to enable you to serve Him more. Because the current high-paying job is taking away the time that you may serve Him. And so God is telling you, give that up. Are you willing? No, this is the test of your faith. Are you willing to give that up? Or even a relationship. Maybe in a courtship, you realize that this person actually did not really believe in Jesus. Are you willing to give up this relationship? Of course, in a marriage, you can't give up. That's why premarital counseling will be very important. You know, to build up the couple, especially in their faith, in their walk with God. But in relationship, BGR relationship, if you realize that your partner, you know, is not the one for you, but you still love him or her, are you willing to give him up or give her up for Jesus' sake? Something very hard. No, very hard to come by someone who loves you and someone you love. But are you willing to put God first? Now, when we measure our faith against Abraham's faith, let us not think that Abraham is in a better condition. Well, because the angel of the Lord spoke to him face to face. Or at least he can hear the audible voice of the Lord. And then for us, we have no such experience. Actually, we are in a better condition than Abraham. Simply because we have God's complete revelation in our hands. God's perfect word. For Abraham, he can only rely on his memory. All that God has said to him in the past. There was no recorded black and white for his reference. He could only remember what God has said to him. But for us, what we have from Genesis all the way to Revelation, all black and white for us to study, to give of ourselves to the learning of His Word. And there are so many opportunities for us to learn God's Word, to study His Word. Should our faith, Abraham, or will it be just head knowledge? It's very sad, isn't it? Having all the head knowledge, but no faith, or even little faith. Because if there's no faith, there's little faith, how to live for the Lord? Every time the test comes, we will surely fail. It's not because God has not equipped us. God has definitely equipped us all that is necessary that we may be able to pass the test of faith. But because we failed on our part. Well, Abraham, full of faith, now he was relieved, definitely from the great burden in his heart. What a relief. And he lifted up his eyes and saw behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. Although the Lord provided the ram for Abraham. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered the ram as a burnt offering in place of his son. And then the name of the place was called Jehovah Jireh. Well, which means the Lord will see to it, or the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. And so indeed we must have faith in this God who will provide. Well, is your job a hindrance to you obeying God? Are you willing to give it up? Unless you are willing to do something, maybe you try to make arrangement. If that is possible, by all means, you can keep the job. God may have a good purpose for you to have this job and be a holy witness in your workplace. But if this job is preventing you from bearing fruit, from drawing closer to God, then this job is not a blessing. Are you willing to give it up? And believe and have the faith that God will provide. And so we must have faith in God's provision. In fact, the greatest provision that God has given to us, the blessing of all blessings, was faith in Jesus Christ. Because by having faith in Jesus Christ, our eyes are open. What life is all about? We no longer live the meaningless life as before. Because we know where we come from. We know why we are here. And we know where we are going. Now this alone gives us meaning in life. We are now living our life for the Lord. So are we willing to trust and have this faith in God's provision? Now finally we come to verses 15 to 19. That we see a faith that passed the test received God's blessing. Okay, 15 to 19. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, that hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up, and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. When you have a faith that is living, that is working, that succeeded, and has passed the test of faith, oh, there comes blessing from God. And so God sent his blessing as a sign of approval for Abraham's faith. Well, God invokes his own name, okay, by the second person of the Holy Trinity again. He invoked his own name in this blessing by saying, By myself, okay, in verse 16, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord. What a guarantee. God sealed it with his own name, the blessing that he wants to give to Abraham. Well, there's no need for God to do that, isn't it? But God wants to encourage Abraham. He wants to confirm it by his own name that God will surely bless Abraham. And God will bless Abraham by multiplying his seed, well, as the stars of heaven and sand upon the seashore. Well, Abraham will have many descendants beyond what he could be counted. Well, we cannot count the stars in the sky. Too many. We cannot count the number of sand on the seashore. Too many. Countless. And that will be how many descendants Abraham, the number of descendants will be. Countless. And God also promised blessing of protection, okay, of his enemies by making his descendants to be strong. So strong that they will be able to conquer over them. Okay, to possess the gate. Well, in verse 17. Well, to possess the gate means that a conquest is successful. And the enemy has been overtaken. Oh, that is God's promise. That is God's blessing to Abraham and to all his descendants. And then finally, blessing to all nations. What is a blessing to all nations? Is it not the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus, the Savior of the whole world. And John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world." Well, this is he whom God has appointed to be the Savior of the world. The only true, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the world can be saved. We know that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that the world may come to salvation. And therefore, we see the impact of Abraham's faith in this passage. Know the blessing that God has promised Abraham, secured and guaranteed by God's own name. Surely it will come to pass. And indeed, with the eyes of faith, we are seeing how God has been so merciful to you and me. We could have been left outside, still wandering aimlessly, meaninglessly in our lives, heading towards judgment and hellfire. But God has saved us. God has turned us around. It is all by his grace and mercy that will not consume because of our sin. But he opened our eyes to see the wonderful truth of salvation. We must have faith. And we must walk by faith, just as Abraham did. Well, we cannot hide behind a faith that is weak all the time. God has given us everything that is necessary for us that our faith may be built up. Why is not our faith being strong? Is it because we are harboring something that is preventing us from growing spiritually? Do we not give them up for the sake of our Savior who loved us? That by faith, we believe what God is doing in our life. And therefore, as Abraham, no question asked, when God commands him to give up his son as a burnt offering. No, his faith in God is remarkable. And that is for our learning. And so let us learn from Abraham's faith. Not to doubt God in his word, but to believe and obey promptly, immediately, no delay, no procrastination. And let us have faith in God's provision. God has provided the salvation to all, even those who do not deserve to be saved. And so it is truly out of his mercy that will not consume. And so therefore let us learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And finally know that God will bless us when we walk by faith and not by sight. And one day we shall be received by him face to face. And will he say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Until may God help us. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. First, encourage our hearts this afternoon. And how the faith of Abraham, that has undergone the greatest test of his faith, and how he has passed the test with flying colors. And how his faith reveals that he does not question God or have any doubt about what God is doing. And his obedience due to his faith is immediate. There is no delay. There is no procrastination. O Lord, we thank Thee that we can learn from Abraham in his faith, and also his faith that believed in Thy provision for him. For Thou hast provided the greatest blessing of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us from our sin. Help us, O Lord, that we may always be thankful, to know that we do not deserve anything good from Thee, but punishment and judgment because of our sin. But that Thou hast shown us mercy and grace, and that Thou hast called us Thy children, and hast given us the Lord Jesus Christ, that to Him all our sins are forgiven. And O Lord, help us that we may be found faithful, walking by faith and not by sight, now and all the way to the end, till we meet our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ face to face. Help us, O God, that even when we face the greatest test of life, help us that we may not fail Thee. Help us that we may remember Thy precious word in our heart, that we might not sin against Thee, and that we might know that we are to do that which is right and well-pleasing in Thy sight, to glorify Thy name. Help us, O God, and we commit all this with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.